بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, previously we had mentioned that there are two things that save a community, a nation, from a widespread adab and punishment coming upon them, which would wipe them out, destroy them completely. And these two things, the first is the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Allah will not punish them whilst you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reside amongst them. And the second is, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, is abundant istighfar, acknowledging the wrongdoings and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. Allah will not punish them as long as they make istighfar. So these are the two factors that if either one of them are found, it will protect and save a community, a nation, a group of people from a widespread adab and punishment coming upon them. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that had it not been for the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah Mukarramah, then the mushrikeen, the Quraysh, had already done everything to deserve this punishment from Allah. They were already deserving of the punishment of Allah based on the transgressions and their acts of disobedience. And first and foremost amongst these transgressions was that they wrongfully took claim to Al-Masjidul Haram. They claimed that they were the custodians, they were the guardians of Al-Masjidul Haram, of the Baytullah, of the Kaaba. And they would then prevent the Sahaba from coming and performing Umrah, despite the fact that they had no real claim to the Kaaba itself. So this is what Allah speaks about. وَمَا لَهُمْ أَلَّا يُعَذِّبَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Why should Allah not punish them? وَهُمْ يَسُدُّونَ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَمَا كَانُوا أَوْلِيَاءَ. Whereas they prevent people from coming to Al-Masjidul Haram, whereas they are not its true guardians, they are not its custodians. إِنْ أَوْلِيَاؤُهُ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ. Its true custodians, its true guardians, or those who may claim a right over the Baytullah, are the muttaqoon, those who have taqwa. In other words, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. However, Allah says most of them do not know this. They do not realize that just by virtue of them living in Makkah and the fact that they come from a history of service to Baytullah, and we know the Quraysh would pride themselves on this, they would serve the Hujjaj, they would give them zamzam water to drink, and they would host them in their homes. So because they came from this background, this history, now they feel as though they are the custodians of Baytullah, of Al-Masjidul Haram, despite the fact that they have made shirk and they have gone against the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they don't realize that just because they stay in the area or they come from a history of this, it does not make them the true custodians of Al-Masjidul Haram. And then Allah mentions some of their practices and how they would transgress when it came to the Baytullah. وَمَا كَانَ صَلَاتُهُمْ عِنْدَ الْبَيْتِ إِلَّا مُكَاءً وَتَصْدِيَةً. Allah says that their acts of worship that they would conduct around the Kaaba was nothing but مُكَاءً وَتَصْدِيَةً. مُكَاءً means whistling, and تَصْدِيَةً clapping of hands. Here Mufassirin mention that the mushrikeen, when they would make tawaf around the Kaaba, because they would also make tawaf, then they would do so firstly in a state of undress, they would take off their clothes, and then they would run around the Baytullah and they would place their fingers into their mouths and begin to whistle. And as they were running around, they would then clap their hands. And they would take this to be some form of ibadat, some form of worship. So this is completely alien to the teachings of Sharia, to the teachings of any of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. This was not found in any Sharia of the past also, that ibadat or worship is done in this manner. Yet this is how they would conduct themselves around the Baytullah. And interestingly, many fuqaha and muftiyani kiram also mention that based on this verse, it does not behove a Muslim to celebrate or to congratulate in this manner, by whistling, by clapping. Not to say that it is haram completely. Of course, we do not do it as an act of ibadat. The Quraysh may have been doing it as an act of ibadat, but Islam is unique, Sharia is unique, Deen is unique. And if we wish to congratulate somebody on some achievement, then there are far more meaningful ways for us to do so in Sharia. We pass words of praise to the person, dua for the person, mashallah, barakallahu feekum, may Allah bless you, may Allah increase you, may Allah accept your efforts. These are meaningful ways of congratulating a person, of encouraging a person, rather than clapping hands, which we find has no basis in Sharia. This is alien to Islam, and this is Western culture or un-Islamic culture to congratulate a person by clapping hands or by whistling. So again, we can consult the ulama-i-kiram, the muftiyan-i-kiram, to find out the detailed rulings, but this is not something that is advisable to do. Rather, deen is unique, Sharia is unique. Nevertheless, now Allah says, فَذُوقُ الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. Now get ready to taste the punishment because of your disbelief. And they say this particular verse, or this portion of the verse, signaled that the hijrah was about to take place. How? Because Allah mentioned earlier that Allah will not punish them as long as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam resides amongst them. Now Allah says, get ready to taste the punishment, signaling or indicating that soon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would leave Makkah Mukarrama. He would migrate to Madinah Munawwara. Now he will not be present in Makkah, and this would eventually show that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come upon them. And we know after Hijrah took place, it was just a matter of 2 years, and the Battle of Badr then took place, and many, many of the leaders of the Quraysh, of the Mushrikeen of Makkah, were then killed in that particular battle. So the punishment of Allah started to come upon them at that time. So again, to recap, as we had mentioned last week and again in today's verse, that these two solutions or these two prescriptions have been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect ourselves from widespread punishment. One is the presence of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which of course we cannot attain any longer. But as we mentioned last week also, we can bring his lifestyle into our homes. We can bring his sunnahs into our lives. And more than that, the second prescription is istighfar, that we continue to seek Allah's forgiveness, we continue to acknowledge our wrongdoings, our weaknesses, our errors, and this will inshaAllah keep Allah's punishment, Allah's azab at bay and ward it off from us and protect us. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.